Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time with Shane. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Oh, you know what? I was going to use my new nickname that I'd developed.
I've forgotten what it is.
In the week. Hot Body.
Hot Body, yeah. Fucking
I'm
great.
Andy Hot Body Dawson. But then I was thinking about it and I thought it's a little bit too close to Hot Shot.
Yeah, so, but remember, I've dropped Hot Shot.
You had to drop Hot Shot, didn't you? Because someone else claimed it.
Someone's got it already. So
yeah,
I didn't want to get...
Isn't it?
They sent me a cease and desist letter.
They did. A cease and desist Facebook comment.
That's fair enough because, you know, I'm well known for having had a cavalier attitude towards the law and taking chances over the years. Yeah. But with nicknames, I would never get involved in a messy nickname rights case because they're the worst. They are. They're brutal. We've seen them too many times before.
We have, yeah.
I mean, the DLT sued a man in Holland for using the hairy cornflake for himself.
Cornflake, he did.
And it went all the way to the fucking European court in Strasbourg.
I was going to say the Hague, but one of them, yeah. And once the lawyers get involved, that's it. You're fucked because the lawyers just want to make their money.
Yeah.
And they'll just pit you against each other. And before you know it, you're millions of pounds down.
It's in their interest for it to just go on and on and on. And they keep convincing you you're going to win. So they was probably telling this Dutch guy, don't worry, he hasn't got a leg to stand on. He's bluffing. We'll take it. He thinks we're going to drop out. If we keep calling his bluff, in the end, he will drop a bollock. And look, where is that Dutch guy now? Without a nickname and without
a house.
And without a wife, because she left him. Who did she leave him for? That's right, Dave Lee Travis.
DLT. Because their argument was that the cornflake element was global and it was public domain. And it wasn't even Kellogg's. You know,
DLT claimed that the guy wasn't hairy enough. He was hairy, he had a beard.
Yeah.
But he wasn't sufficiently hairy for that to be justified as a description of him. Do you know what I mean?
That's right, yeah.
In the end, that's what he rested on.
Oh, he had to strip off in court, didn't he?
Yeah.
To prove just how hairy he was.
Yeah, and he wasn't nearly as... And then DLT, even though no one asked him to, said he would strip off as well, so the judge could compare their bodies.
Yeah.
And apparently DLT was substantially hairier than his Dutch rival.
And he also revealed that he had a patch of skin on his right inner thigh, which had the coarse texture of a cornflake.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing. Do we know where... I mean, I'm sure if we went back through this case, there's plenty of press cuttings on it and it'll probably be revealed. But I've never known, beyond the fact that he is unquestionably hairy, Dave Lee Travis, where did the hairy cornflake thing come from? Where's the cornflake derived from?
It's from when he used to be the breakfast DJ on Radio 1.
Right. So he thought, I'm on the breakfast show... So what do you associate with breakfast? Cornflakes? Because this would have been late 70s, early 80s.
It would have been, yeah.
Cornflakes was all anyone had for breakfast then, right?
Well, no. I don't know. The hairy Wheat Bix, the hairy toast.
Yeah. The hairy start, you know, that cereal that was advertised by Steve Cram.
That came along later. I think Steve Cram, who advertised Start, actually trademarked the hairless start as his own nickname, but it never took off.
Right, he was completely hairless, which apparently gave him a crucial extra few seconds onto his records, fewer seconds. Yeah. But so he's gone, well, cool. I need to think of a nickname. Well, I'm hairy. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that. That's one of the many hilarious things about me as a man. I could say cornflakes. That's what people associate with them on. Hairy cornflakes, fucking great.
Yeah.
It's not. It's actually very off-putting.
Yeah, it is.
Really off-putting.
I never took to him because you almost hear the bristling of his beard against the microphone of a morning. Mm. Now, you're being entertained as you're walking up, but at the same time, you know there's an incredibly hairy man delivering that entertainment, like Mr. Twit.
You know, he looked just like Mr. Twit.
First thing in the morning, is it?
I interviewed him for the Top of the Pops article, which I've talked about extensively before. Mainly, I focus on my interviews with probably number one, Bates. Mm. My abortive one with Bates. Number two, probably Mike Reed. And number three, Mike Smitty Smith.
The late Mike Smitty Smith.
Who told the amazing story about pinning Simon Bates to a wall because Simon Bates had tried to cause beef between him and Sarah Green. Right? But Dave Lee Travis kept me on the phone for longer than any of them, mate. He would stop. And he was just telling me zany anecdote after zany anecdote. I felt like I was in Crinkly Bottom, right? It was so many zany anecdotes about all of the hijinks they got up to behind the scenes. Yeah. His favourite ever... I said, what's your favourite ever moment presenting Top of the Pops, DLT? And he went, that's easy. And you can actually see this on YouTube because he rides onto the set on a monkey bike wearing a fireman's helmet. It's a motorised monkey bike.
That is the wackiest thing you can come up with, isn't it?
So wacky.
At that level.
And I went, that is amazing. He went, you're bloody right. And I went, there's me on the most watched pop television programme in the Western world, riding onto set on a monkey bike like a complete tonk. I remember that's what he said.
What?
Like a complete tonk.
A tonk?
It wasn't a term I was familiar with, but I remember it vividly because I remember telling everyone in the office, you come off the phone, you can imagine. I'm like, fucking hell. They're like, who were you on the phone to all that time? I said, it was fucking DLT. Listen to all these things he said. So I'm telling them about the monkey bike, and I pushed so hard for a cover line. You know, like when you're doing a magazine cover, you have the main cover lines, and then you at the bottom, you have and also. And it'll say something like, and also, best underwater watches, you know, sexy girl out of Corrie, the truth about Leeds United, and DLT's monkey bike. I wanted DLT's monkey bike somewhere on the cover. I thought, you're going to buy a magazine, but maybe...
Of course.
In many ways, in retrospect, what I realised about a lot of my career in magazines when I was younger is that what I was really trying to do at all times was create a magazine for me, you, and the few thousand people who listen to this podcast to read.
Well, yeah.
I didn't even know you at the time, but yeah. I was trying to make a magazine to impress you, Andy. Even before I knew you, I was trying to impress you.
We all knew we were all out there. It's just taken probably this podcast to link us all together.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
But I mean, who could be asked to do a magazine now?
Early days of Loaded did it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it really did.
Our good friend and your erstwhile co-host,
on Talksport.
Actually, I've presented a few times on the Sports the warm up with James before.
Yeah,
but you know, it's funny we came to work and know James later in life because actually Loaded. In the first year or two, and kids, some of the younger listeners, if you associate Loaded magazine with the 90s and noughties magazine, sort of quite in retrospect sexist and daft, but if you associate it with that, there were sexy girls in it, that's true, but not nearly as many as you might imagine in comparison to the other magazines of the time, like FHM or Maxim or later Nuts and Zoo, which were basically soft porn.
Yeah.
If you're a younger listener and you like our podcast, see if you can go on eBay and get like the first 10 issues of Loaded magazine from 1994-95 time, where it was like that. That is, this is a pretentious term I'm about to use that's popped into my head. I'm going to fucking use it. That, my friends, is the Fountainhead.
Yes. First time you've used that on this podcast.
Don't know if I'm going to use it again, but I've put it out there.
It's going to be sparingly used, if so. I mean, we weren't sure about cunnilingus recently and the previous use of that, but I can definitely tell you, you've never used Fountainhead before.
Listen, as podcasters, you have to be prepared to constantly innovate and experiment. You have to. Mm-hmm. And that's why regular listeners will have noticed that recently I've been trying to introduce new words to the podcast. Like cunnilingus and Fountainhead. Fountainheads could sound like a sexual act as well.
Well, I was going to say they're possibly not that far apart, are they?
No.
But who knows? But yeah, that first ever issue of Loaded, I remember I was going to meet me mate Paul for a lunchtime pint in the Ivy House pub in Sunderland.
Lovely.
And I called into the newsagents as I got off the bus into town.
Got any good magazines, love?
Any good new magazines launched today? And there it was. There it was. Loaded. Issue one. I think it was probably a quid. You know, the launch issue. Knockdown price. And it had Gary Oldman on the front cover. The sexy woman in it was Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
But that everyone was the only one, I think.
Everyone remembers those pictures.
Yeah,
because those were old pictures that he'd taken of her when he was on the way, when she was on the way up, and so they were extremely explicit. And the most memorable things
very sexy.
About, well, the most memorable things was pube stubble. Now that again is a term that I don't think I've used before.
I don't think you've used. You might have done once or twice, I think, but jury's out on that one.
But you don't see that much anymore. You don't hear the term. You don't see it visually because things have moved. I mean, we've talked a huge amount about private shaving on this podcast. Yeah. We won't go back there. You don't see it, but that was what was visible in that photo shoot, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm looking at the cover. It had a thing about the Sampdoria squad had done a photo shoot, their pre-season squad shoot, and they were all in fighter pilot gear and in front of an aeroplane or something?
You're looking at it now, so I can, because I remember it so vividly, had a big impact on me. Yeah. It had With Now You Terrible Cult written on the cover somewhere as well.
I'm trying to find it. It did a
deep dive into the cult status of With Nail and I, which obviously now everyone knows is well established as a cult. But again, when I saw it, I thought, you know, when you look at something, you think, oh, fuck, I didn't realise that loads of people were into Wigner. I thought that was a little thing that me and a couple of my mates had got into on video, you know. Yeah. And that's when a magazine is really rolling, when it sort of takes a gamble on something that could be niche. But it turns out there's hundreds of thousands of people who are like, oh, I'm really into that as well.
Here's what it's got on the front, right? It's got Gary Oldman with a fag in his mouth. It says, Super Lads, Gary Oldman, Paul Weller and Eric Cantona play to win.
And you're like, that's going to appeal to people. I'm buying that,
With Nail You Terrible Cult, Airstrikers, Sampdoria Go to War, Sampdoria squad dressed up as fighter pilots.
That's brilliant.
Room Servicing, Why Hotel Sex is the Best. What? Okay. Prepare to read that, Skydiving for Beginners. And then Beavis and Butthead, They Suck But They're Cool. And that was it, first issue, 95 pence. What's not the about that?
I mean, I saw it, I remember... Again, I've got a vivid memory of it. But the thing is, I can't stress it enough, we're sat here now. We probably even just know each other because of that magazine in some ways, because we met through magazines, sort of, and we wouldn't have even probably been into magazines.
The magazines that we sort of worked on wouldn't exist without Loaded. This wouldn't be happening without Loaded.
Exactly. And like, I remember I was sitting and I was reading, I was waiting at a bus stop in Hammersmith, and I had a newspaper. It was probably The Independent, because obviously I would have been 19. I was very sophisticated. I was sat there in my breeches, top hat and half moon spectacles, right, waiting for my bus. And I was like, well, why? What's this? Super Lads. They ran one of those ads. I remember the ad where they used to have a corner. I don't know if they still do it, where it was just the bottom left-hand corner of the back page of the newspaper where they had the sport. And I would buy a newspaper and obviously turn to the back page. Yeah. And so it was really clever advertising. They knew it would be like, that's quite good. People are reading the football, but in a broadsheet newspaper. So, you know, they might be quite intelligent. And it didn't have anything. It just said on sale now. There was no slogan, because a good magazine cover should serve as the ad in itself. You shouldn't need to embellish it. And all it said was on sale now. And it didn't say anything else. And of course, without the internet and stuff, there was no build up like, oh, there's a new magazine coming out soon. Yeah, no problem. I saw it and it just said Super Lads. And I thought, because that's really on the nose. Now you wouldn't put that on a cover. But back then you'd be like, oh, yeah. Because magazines before that were all poncy, weren't they? They were all like, hey, buy this new £1,000 watch and all that sort of shit.
I mean, even FHM, which was around, it was all about high end fashion and
scent. Fashion magazine. Yes, scent.
Whatever the new scent was that was available that month.
So you're like, I mean, you might read the NME. I wasn't big into the music papers, but I read them occasionally. And then I just read anything I could get my hands on that was about football. But there, I had a lot of other interests. There was a huge gap because I did used to read The Face when I was younger, but I didn't really get it because it was too trendy for me when I was a young man. But I kind of liked the idea of it, you know.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you see this, you went, fuck, yeah. And they've got cell sections on drugs and taking drugs, right? It said drug news. And I took it to the pub. I bought it straight away. And that night I took it to the pub, which is a fucking weird thing to do, right? Because I was trying, and my mates, I couldn't even get, in the end, they all got into it. But I remember that night and thinking, fucking hell, what's the matter with him? Right? Because I'm going, fucking look at this, like, what have you got a magazine for? I said, fucking look at it.
He's put a magazine. I can't tell a woman.
Then go, it's got a section that's just called drug news, right? And you just read it and it just says funny things that have happened with people taking drugs, right? I was like, this magazine's fucking insane. It's fucking brilliant. It's a magazine we've all been waiting for. fucking hell. And they've got fucking the CDs being reviewed by a cuddly monkey. It was absolutely unreal. And so if you're a younger man who wasn't around at the time, fucking hell. Get on eBay, the first one's probably quite expensive.
30 quid, I've just looked.
I've got them in my mum's attic, I think, probably the first 3 years worth. You used to stack them and it made a picture up the spine, didn't it, if you stacked them all together. So in my mum's attic, as long as Rod, the osteopath stepfather figure, has not fucking been up there and, I don't know, he goes up there and he meddles with our things, right?
Put it on eBay for 30 quid.
The cunt, I bet he has.
Let's have a look. Hang on. Let's see what the name of the seller is. Yep, Osteo Rod. Yep.
Ah, the bastard. Osteo Rod. 30 quid. Oh, nearest offer.
you're
doing me a favour because it's only taking up space in the loft anyway.
I sat in that pub waiting for my mate to turn up, flicking through it and thinking, fucking hell, this is for me. Someone's done a magazine for me.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. 100% what I felt. That is exactly how I felt. You're sat up there in Sunderland. I'm sat down in Hammersmith. We're both unknowingly at the time thinking the exact same thing. And it was that moment that 30 years later would lead to the launch of the world's favourite satirical podcast. Time machine!
The launch of the world's favourite fortnightly Premier League review podcast.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
And also, I like the fact that they just wrote articles about, like, articles before that. There were always, like, magazines, those sort of style magazines, would try to pick up on a trend. And it must have, I mean, I can't imagine how annoying it was if you were reading it somewhere other than London. Because it was even annoying if you lived in London, but not in a certain part of London, right?
Mm.
Because they pick up on scenes. They go, oh, here's 2,000 words on a little scene that's kicking off in the West End nightclub jazz scene at the moment, right? And it's for people wearing fucking shoes that are made out of feathers, right? And you'd be like, what the fuck? Whereas in Loaded, the articles were, we went to, and they'd say something mad like, we went to Scotland and got pissed and then went canoeing. Here's what happened, right?
Yeah.
And that was it. It was basically, and they'd always call it capers. They go, we've been on a caper. And they'd all go together and just write about it. And me and my mates started calling everything, we suddenly elevated what we thought were quite boring and humdrum existences without changing much about them. In our minds, our existences were elevated to quite glamorous because we weren't doing anything different. We were just going around and getting pissed and doing silly things. But because they were writing about it in such an entertaining and funny way, you kind of felt, oh, this lifestyle we're living, before it made you feel like you were on the outside of a good lifestyle looking in. Suddenly it felt that you were in it. And it was, I mean, not to get too, you know, cultural essayist bullshit, but it was linked in with things like Britpop because, you know, Oasis were like walking around in just fucking jeans and shitty anoraks. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And and so again, everything was like felt a bit more accessible because you thought, here's a band who are the biggest band in the world and they just look a bit like me and my mates, just wearing scruffy trainers and anoraks. And the magazine that's the best magazine in the world is just saying, they're not telling you that your lifestyle should be like James Bond, which is what GQ told you, or The Face told you it should be like fucking Jean-Paul Gaultier or whatever. It was telling you that a good lifestyle was to just hang around with your mates, getting pissed and acting like a dickhead.
Having a laugh. Yeah.
Having
a
laugh.
You are the heroes, yeah.
And exactly. They'll go, exactly, you are the heroes. Like, go into different places and having a laugh. So get a cheap flight, go to another country and have a laugh with your mates. And so you'd do it and you'd think, wow, we're really living the life. Whereas the year before Loaded came out, I remember doing the same things and thinking, fucking hell, when's my life going to get interesting? This is a right load of boring bollocks.
I'm just looking at some of the early covers. I've just done a Google image search. Gary Oldman, Kathy Burke, Noel Gallagher, Sean Ryder. So it wasn't women on the cover very much at all at first. Oliver Reed, Jimmy White, Kevin Keegan.
The female cover they had quite early doors, I think it was issue 2 or 3, was to kick off the Premier League season. And they had a bunch of women models all dressed in Premier League football kits.
Yeah.
And they were all letting champagne bottles up on the front cover. And it just said something like, the Premier League season starts here. And well, even it was women, but it was so funny.
I'm looking at it. It must have been about 95, I reckon. And you've got one of the women's wearing a Manchester United away kit and the other kit being worn.
Leeds.
Well, of course, that's Leeds United.
I remember thinking at the time, bit weird that they've got Leeds on there. I mean, Leeds obviously were a Premier League outfit at the time, but they weren't necessarily at the fucking peak of their powers. I mean, Newcastle would have been the glamour club of the time, aside Man United. And I thought, that's a bit weird. And it was only like, obviously at the time I didn't know James or any of those people. I worked with many of them subsequently, but I was still a kid. I hadn't even started university. And then obviously I, in due course, found out that the editor and the deputy editor were both massive Leeds fans. Yeah. and that's why I had a disproportionate amount of Leeds coverage in there.
That's September 94. And it's got also on the front cover, it's got also featured in Loaded's American Road Trip.
Yeah, there you brilliant.
Go. Blur, Pamela Anderson, Dennis Hopper on Speed, the Crisps World Cup.
Yeah, I love those. Those were, I mean, Crisps World Cup, then that's when you're like, we are the heroes is exactly the right way of phrasing it. It's sort of like, this is the shit that you sat around wasting time doing throughout adolescence.
What's the best crisps?
Crisps World Cup. And they have fucking elevated it. And in a way, they put their arm around all of us and gone, do you know what, lads? It's fine. Fuck those trendy cunts at the Stassi nightclubs that you can't get into.
Yeah.
We're the ones having the proper good time.
We're getting pissed at talking about crisps, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was it, going to the pub and just sitting in the pub for hours on end talking shit. That was what it was.
And they elevated it. But it was partly due to Pat O'Rourke, like Michael Holden, who you'll know, who became a good mate of mine. He's a fucking... he wrote half the mag most months. I think it was because he was marginally more sane and professional than a lot of them because it was a genuine fucking, like, animal house. Proper, like, smoking crack in the bogs and everything.
Other stuff in that issue? Hang on. Fat Lad Hang Gliding. Newcastle's Big Market. Can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
Sid James, Sarah Cracknell, Bernard Manning, Damon Hill, and serial killers.
Mate, there you go. That reads, when you write our pithy little episode descriptions for Top Flight Time Machine now in the year 2020, what you just read out there could easily be an episode description of a random episode Top Flight Time Machine, which just goes to show, I mean, some of those cultural references were pretty old and dusty back then in the mid-90s, and we're still making them now in 2020.
Yeah. When James's book comes out, eventually...
We'll have to make him a human of honour.
It'll have to be six parts at least, because, you know, he'll talk. We'll do that. We'll do that with him.
Here's a good recommendation, talking about all this stuff. If you want to hear James touching upon those days and the circumstances surrounding the magazine and some of the funny stories, his book will come out hopefully next year. But if you go and listen to his episode of Life Goals with Theo Delaney, my brother's podcast, on which both of us have been guests. James, about, I don't know, beginning of this year, I think it was, he did an episode, and it is at times fucking laugh out loud funny. Obviously the best bits, because he talks through his life and there's lots of different eras. He was at the NME and then afterwards he was at GQ and Jack and all that. But the bit at Loaded is the bit where I really laughed out loud listening to it. So, you know, Life Goals, great podcast anyway, but go on there and listen to James Brown's episode.
Also, get a copy of his first book, which is called Above Head Height.
Yeah.
About five-a-side football. That's a fucking great book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get that as well.
Oh, he's a good lad. He's a good lad. He's done a lot for the world.
He is, of course. Love him a bit. That's our bit on Loaded.
Let's do
the football prediction, shall we?
Okay, yeah.
Before we go any further, there was nothing happened in that match the other night. Brighton West Brom, I think it was. Nobody got any points for that either. So it was 3 points for you last week, 0 points for me and the robot.
Didn't even know it existed. I mean, it's the sort of thing that's best just ignored. Brighton versus West Brom, isn't it?
Yeah. Certainly weren't going to pay £40.95 for it. All right, we've got Wolves versus Crystal Palace. I'll have first crack at that for a change. Wolves Crystal Palace, I think, is going to be 2-0 to Wolves.
I'll go 2-1 Wolves.
2-1 Wolves.
Palace are a club that are really starting to annoy me, their presence in the Premier League, because Well, fucking Roy Hodgson, you know, nice guy. I haven't got any problem with him personally. But the way his teams play are in this sort of almost military kind of drilled way. And they are the classic hard to beat team that aren't really very exciting to watch. And they just sort of nullify games. And when you hear a fixture with Crystal Palace, to be fair to Crystal Palace... Yeah, it's a good club and all of that. I'm not dissing them. I'm just saying, as a team at the moment, you hear it and you think, you can never predict a definite they will lose, because you think this is, Roy Hodgson will plays attritional football that will stop the other team.
I mean, you know, when Sunderland had 10 years in the Premier League and then a few relegation battles at the end of that before we finally went down, I'd have loved to have been Crystal Palace.
I'd have loved
to have played organised attritional football, but with Wilf Zaha. That would do for me.
I mean, listen, Palace fans, I haven't got a problem with Palace per se, and I like Roy Hodgson, but I don't know, my heart sinks and I'm sure being a Palace fan is absolutely great fun, but my heart sinks as a neutral when I think about having to encounter a Crystal Palace game. Makes me feel sad, maybe not sad, but just a bit like, you know, Bit flat, mate, when I think about Crystal Palace, which is funny because as a name of a club, it's arguably the sexiest name for a club in the whole of football.
Well, I mean, it's like the little village that I grew up in, Shiny Row. Sounds gorgeous, doesn't it?
Fuck.
The reality.
Has that got a football team? Has that got a village football team?
Nah, it's probably got a pub football team.
Shiny
Row.
That's great. Give us your best football club names. If we haven't heard of them as well, it's even better. Or if we have heard them, I mean, in a way, Arsenal's a pretty good name for a football club, isn't it?
I guess
Wolves.
So.
Wolves is probably the best, but it doesn't quite qualify because it's an abbreviation.
It's just a nickname, like Hot Body.
But Crystal Palace, yeah, you could imagine if Sunderland's new nickname, because Sunderland have changed their nickname before, which I don't agree with, but fine, right? If they change it again, which they might do, they're obviously up for that. So they're obviously promiscuous when it comes to nicknames.
Nickname slags.
They're nickname slags. And if I remember rightly, when you did move out of Roker Park and had to change your nickname, which I don't think you had to. I think you could still call yourself the Rokerites, even though you didn't play there, right? But
yeah,
wasn't there a vote for what the new nickname should be?
I think there was, yeah. I think there was. I vaguely remember that, yeah.
So
but
they
the
do
Black
the...
Cats had been hanging around as a nickname, sort of a sub-nickname before then. Mm. You know, it wasn't brand new. I'll give them that.
I think that if they do it again, you should nominate Hot Body.
The Hot Bodies.
The Hot Body. You just imagine, like, John Motson or whoever going, and here we are at the Stadium of Light where the Hot Bodies are taking on West Bromwich Albion.
And then you've got... what form would the mascot take? Would it be like a Chippendale-type... latex figure. Yeah. I don't know.
He'd be wearing a muscle suit, right? Yeah. Really massive though, like 7 foot tall muscle
Dolph
man.
Dolph Lundgren,
long sort of golden hair, right down to his shoulders, and he's wearing like a jock strap, and the only other thing on his body is a bow tie.
Of course, the bow tie. Yeah.
Sexiest
bodies.
Sexiest thing a man can wear.
And his name is just simply Hot Body.
Hot Body. And here he is, kids. Welcome onto the pitch. Hot Body.
Look at that bulge in his underpants. It's Hot Body.
Whoa, and he'd have a song. Looking for some hot baby tonight. Like something like that. And he'd come on, he'd do a little dance, and then he'd do a sort of a fun penalty shootout with the kids. Maybe you and your Oliver again could do a... one of those things, like, you know, when you did a horrific...
Run around the pitch.
A horrific four-footed tackle on your own son. You could reenact that, but with Hot Body.
You could do. Hot Body be doing press-ups at the side of the pitch. Oh, we do that.
One-armed press-ups. To work on it. I've got to always keep my body hot. And that, and just remember, kids, that takes work.
Yeah. So, that's Wolves Palace. Yeah, onwards. Aston Villa versus Southampton. You can go first.
2-0
to Villa. I think 2-2.
2-2. Okay, interesting.
Liverpool versus West Ham, Sam. Are you going to say something there about Villa?
Just say Southampton are a decent outfit. It's the most dreary thing I've said all day, but here they are.
You said
Liverpool 0, West Ham 1.
Lost my screen. Liverpool, West Ham. I'm going to go for... It's going to be 2-0 Liverpool. Simple as that. Gillingham versus Sunderland. Is it me go first? It is.
Yeah.
Gillingham, Sunderland. 1-1.
I'm going to say 1-1 as well.
Okay.
Already had that in my head.
We've gone massively tits up over the last week, so I'm expecting that to continue. Millwall Huddersfield.
0-0. 0-0.
God.
A no score draw.
2-1 Huddersfield.
2-1 Huddersfield.
I don't know what Huddersfield are doing in the league or anything like that. Nah. That's about it. Sam, got anything else you want to mention?
Yeah. Just this, someone tweeted us something from Mark Manning tweeted us a story from The Guardian. The opening paragraph is this. In fact, it was a retweet from the writer Hannah Jane Parkinson. You know her? She's like I think she's a Liverpudlian writer for The Guardian. And she's tweeted this, and Mark Manning sent it to us. This is hands down the most horrifying paragraph I've ever read, right? And so you thought, this could be interesting. Underneath, this is what it says. A New York City man has fallen through a sinkhole in a sidewalk, landing directly onto a pack of rats, leaving him unable to scream for help out of a fear that they might crawl into his mouth, local media have reported. How do they know that he is too scared to scream because he's worried that rats are going to go in his mouth?
Mm.
How do they know he's there if he didn't scream? And if his reason for not screaming is because he doesn't want to open his mouth, how has he told them that? Oh, sorry, I can't. Why didn't you scream? Sorry, I can't scream. Why not? I'm worried that if I open my mouth, the rats will climb in.
Oh, but fuck. They're going to do it now.
You're opening it now to talk. Oh, Jesus Christ. I think some of the baby ones scuttled in. Oh, I can't tell. There's something in my mouth.
You know what this is? You know what this smacks off to me?
What?
Sex thing. He set this up himself. It's his fetish.
Sinkhole my ass.
Yeah. Sinkhole rat fetish. He's gone out
digging at night and created his own fucking sinkhole so he can walk along the street the other day and fake an accident. Yeah. Oh no, I've fallen into a bed of rats and now they're all climbing inside of my mouth.
He gets off on three things: falling down a hole, the rats, and the rescue attempt.
The filthy cunt. Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's Trump's America, mate.
That's what it is. It could all change next week. But before then, we've got the Style Council documentary on Sky Arts tomorrow night. Everyone's got to watch that.
Yeah, remember to tune in for that.
There's no episode of The Wall this week, you said, for some reason.
No, but hopefully Style Council will make up for that.
And there's also a brand new Style Council compilation CD coming out today, a double CD or triple vinyl, if that's what you're into.
Really?
And it's not just the singles, it's got B-sides, album tracks, the lot, partially compiled by Paul Weller, apparently. So
partially compiled, yeah. I'll tell you what I'll do, right? I'm a bit busy, but I'll think of four songs, and then I get one of the others to do the rest.
I'll compile every other track on it, and you can fill in the gaps.
I'll do it now, I'll just tell you. Right, speak like a child, money go round, Paris match and mixed blessings. Anyway, bye. I'll send an invoice.
I don't want people to think I'm too keen on it because I like looking forward.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone I partially compiled it.
Don't tell anyone I'm excited about it. But yeah, he's in the documentary and everything, so it should be good.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah. All right. That's it from us. We'll be back. We've got a Top Flight Tune Machine coming out on Sunday, haven't we?
Yeah, we got a lovely chart that features Kylie and others, so tune in for that.
February 1988.
And don't forget, our Kylie content's strong. We once released a bonus episode simply based on us talking about Kylie in the summer of 2019, which is one of the only things we've done, the only times we've done something like that.
Yeah, it takes something special, doesn't it? Mm. All right, take your fin tickets.
See ya.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.